Hello and welcome to Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website. In the Bix is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of Bix Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of Bix's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. The centerpiece of today's program is Hoagy Carmichael. This is one in a series of programs about musicians who recorded or played with Bix. Bix played with Hoagy Carmichael's orchestra in 1930. As a matter of fact, Bix's last recording was with Hoagy Carmichael. So what I want to do today is play 1920s recordings of Hoagy Carmichael without Bix. And I will start by quickly telling you a little bit about Hoagy Carmichael. He was born on November 22nd, 1899, in Bloomington, Indiana. He attended Indiana University in Bloomington and eventually got a law degree, but his heart was in music, of course. 1924, Bix with the Wolverines visited Bloomington, and a strong friendship between Hoagy and Bix developed there that lasted until Bix died. It turns out that when Bix died, his friend Alice Weiss distributed some of Bix's property, and a Holton mouthpiece that Bix had was given by Alice to Hoagy, and he kept it for the rest of his life. All right, let's get started with the music. The first two recordings I want to play are from May 19, 1925. And the name of the band is Hitch's Happy Harmonists. This group had recorded earlier in 1923, 24, and early 1925. And for the May 19 recording session, Hoagy Carmichael was the director and pianist, having replaced Hitch. The other members of the band were Fred Rollison on cornet, Jerry Bump on trombone, Harry Wright clarinet, Rookie Neal sim melody sax, Haskell Simpson on brass bass, Arnold Hebb on banjo, and Earl McDowell on drums. The two numbers that the band recorded were both composed by Hoagy. I will play first Boneyard Shuffle and then Washboard Blues. This is the first recording of Washboard Blues, and of course later on Hoagy recorded the tune as a member of the Paul Whiteman Orchestra with Bix present in that recording. So let's listen then to Hoagy with the Hitch's Happy Harmonists in his two compositions, Washboard Blues, Boneyard Shuffle, May 19, 1925. Thank you. before I go to the next set, let me make a couple of comments. First, I often hear echoes of Carmichael's tunes in other compositions by Carmichael. For example, in Boneyard Shuffle, I hear echoes of Riverboat Shuffle. And also, what's interesting, there is a little bit of a piece of Waiting at the End of the Road. In his Hoagy Carmichael biography, Richard Sodhalter tells us how the name of Boneyard Shuffle came about. It says, apparently, Kurt Hitch told interviewer Bob Harrington in 1982 that Hoagy did not have a name for the first number. We were trying to come up with something when banjoist Arnold Hebb picked up a piece of newspaper. On it were the words about an automobile boneyard, and he said, why not call it Boneyard Shuffle? And that's the true story behind the song title. Let's continue with the music. I want to play now two recordings waxed by Hoagy Carmichael and his pals. This is October 31st, 1927, an important date in music. Both compositions were penned by Hoagy. First one's Friday Night. The second one, The Immortal Stardust. The pals in the recordings are Emil Seidel on piano, he's also the director, Byron Smart on trumpet, Oscar Rosberg trombone, Gene Woods or Dick Kent alto sax, Maurice Bennett tenor sax, Don Kimmel guitar, Hoagy Carmichael piano, vocal and cornet, Paul Brown on brass bass, Cliff Williams drums. In the first number I want to play, Friday Night, Hoagy Carmichael also plays cornet. In the second recording, Stardust, Hoagy plays piano. So let's listen then to Hoagy Carmichael and his pals, October 31st, 1927, Friday Night first, Stardust next, both compositions by Hoagy Carmichael. Thank you. Before I continue with the music, I want to read what Richard Solholder has to say about the session that brought us Stardust. It's a very important session, and therefore I thought it would be useful to bring in this piece of information. And this is what the Solholder says. The session opened with another Carmichael creation, a stomp called Friday Night, based on some generic chord patterns, a somewhat vague melody line, and a surprise. Out came Hoagie's beat-up cornet, providing an avid hot counterline to Byron Smart's lead. I remember the record well, Smart recalled. Hoagie had never played this cornet part before, and as we cut the master, he stepped up behind me and played it. Coming midway in the performance, the cornet duet is both abandoned and surprisingly well executed. Carmichael is clearly audible, punching out a middle register complement to the other man's more ambitious flights. Buzz Vernet, playing a four-string guitar, gets a bit of solo space along the way. Then it was time for Stardust. The first we'd heard of it was the evening before, said Maury Bennett. Didn't even know who was going to take the second course. It was a pretty ragged performance, mainly because there was no adequate preparation or rehearsal. Hoagie hadn't yet written the number down on paper, and it wasn't orchestrated. In fact, I don't think he was too sure himself about how he wanted it played. More than a little nonsense has been written about this first Stardust, described variously and erroneously as a ragtime piece or stomp. It is, in fact, just what Bud Dent remembered. A medium tempo jazz composition whose shape and overall flavor are heavily indebted to Big Spiderbeck's phrasing. Byron Smart enhances this aspect by playing the verse on trumpet in a heraldic, Bix-like manner, tonguing most of the notes. Gene Woods sets out the melody on alto, backed prominently by Vernert's guitar, which gets into some chordal trouble in bars 22 of the second take. Okay, let's continue with the music. The first tune I want to play now is When Baby Sleeps. It's another composition by Hoagie Carmichael, recorded on the same date as the previous two recordings, Friday Night and Stardust, and the composition of the band is exactly the same. I will follow that with The Best Things in Life Are Free. This is a composition by the team of De Silva, Brown and Henderson, recorded on November 11, 1927. The band consists of Emil Seidel on piano and directing, Byron Smart trumpet, Hoagie Carmichael piano, Oscar Rosberg trombone, Dean Kent alto sax. The band consists of Emil Seidel piano and directing, Byron Smart trumpet, Hoagie Carmichael piano, Oscar Rosberg trombone, Dean Kent alto sax, Gene Wood alto sax, Maurice Bennett tenor sax, Don Kimmett banjo or guitar, Paul Brown brass bass and doubles on violin, Cliff Williams on drums, and this was recorded in Richmond, Indiana, November 11, 1927, as I said before. So let's listen then to two recordings that include Hoagie Carmichael. First, Hoagie Carmichael and his pals, and then Emil Seidel and his orchestra, 1927. Thank you. forgot to mention that the vocalist in The Best Things in Life Are Free is the drummer Cliff Williams. And of course, I'm sure you must have noticed that When Baby Sleeps is a precursor of a rocking chair. Okay, let's continue with the music. Now I will play another two recordings by Emil Seidel and his orchestra, the same recording session, November 11, 1927. And the tunes I want to play are first Down South, and then Together with Two was composed by Irving Berlin. It's a very nice song. Down South has an introduction that is an interpolation of the Going Home theme from Dvorak's New World Symphony. The cornet player, or the trumpet player, Byron Smart, in the recording of Together with Two, sounds to me very much like Red Nichols. Okay, so here are two recordings by Emil Seidel, November 11, 1927, Down South, and then Together We Two. Thank you.
I was telling where we'd be dwelling together. Down at the bottom of our little hill, where we could live and love and hear the thrill of the whippoorwill. We were happy, we looked so snappy together. No mistaking what we were aching to do. You gave your love undivided, just as I did. Then and there we both decided, everywhere that we shared together we do.
Continue with the music. We're still in 1927. This is now late 1927, and I have a couple of numbers by the Gene Golcat Orchestra with Hoge Carmichael. This is the Postpix Gene Golcat Orchestra, and this is what the Sodhalter tells us about this particular group. In late 1927, relieved of the financial burden of the now-defunct Victor Recording Orchestra, Gene Golcat was free to concentrate on his Detroit-based booking agency. Business was thriving, and his investment in McKinney Scott & Peakers, now led by Don Redman, was beginning to pay dividends. When an engagement at the Plamore Ballroom in Kansas City turned up, Golcat made a shrewd move. He picked up the Indiana Royal Peacocks, a band regionally popular since the early 1920s, augmented their personnel with a few other top men active in the Midwest. So this is Gene Golcat on December 12, 1927, a pretty large band. Nat Natoli, Andy Sechrist, Sterling Bowes on trumpet, Loring Schultz on trombone, Red Ginsler trombone, Larry Tice, Bob Hotsall on clarinet and alto sax, Peggy Byleth, clarinet, alto sax, tenor sax, Ray Porter, clarinet, alto sax, tenor sax, Myron Schultz, violin, and he's the leader, Harold Stocks on piano accordion, he's also the arranger, Harry Bazin on piano, Hoge Carmichael also on piano and on vocals, Joe Galbraith on banjo, Harold George brass bass, and Mel Miller on drums. So this is Kansas City, December 12, 1927. First, My Ohio Home, then So Tired. My Ohio Home is a composition by Otto Kahn and Walter Donaldson. And So Tired is a composition by Arthur Sizemore and George Little. Both recordings, we have Hoge Carmichael on vocal. In So Tired, I call your attention to the obbligato behind the vocal, and that's Sterling Bowes, sounding very much like Bix. Okay, so here is the post-Bix Gene Golcat Orchestra with Hoge Carmichael on vocal, two numbers, My Ohio Home and So Tired, 1927. Thank you.
hear the birdies say good morning, the way they always say good morning in my old home. I want to ramble mid the roses. I know just where to find them roses. I used to ramble mid them roses on my old H.I.O. home.
Okay, let's wind up today's program with a couple of recordings by Carmichael's Collegians from May 2nd, 1928. Hoagy's on piano and vocal, Bud Dan cornet, Chancy Goodney clarinet alto sax, Harold Keating clarinet tenor sax, Eddie Wolf violin, Arnold Hebb on banjo, Jack Drummond string bass, and Andy Van Sickle on drums. Now, on that May 2nd, 1928 session, the band waxed six sides. but only two of them were issued. Fortunately, Hoagy Carmichael had test pressings of the other four, so all of these are available. I'm going to play two of these, two of the ones that were recording on that May 2nd session. First, Walking the Dog, and then Shimmy Shall Wobble. Walking the Dog is a composition by Sheldon Brooks, and Shimmy Shall Wobble is a composition from about 10 years earlier by Spencer Williams. I would like to read to you what Sodhalter says about these two particular recordings, and he goes as follows. Sheldon Brooks' Walking the Dog, though not quite up to the same voltage level, and he's talking about March of the Hoodlums, is confidently played. Woodwind opening over band stop chords shows absorption of both Dorsey and the more whimsical Trumbauer. Hebb appears to be playing guitar behind Wolf's fiddle solo, but once the ensemble gets rolling, he drops out briefly, only to come charging back on banjo, momentarily overbalancing Jeanette's rather primitive electrical recording equipment. From then on, the Hoagy's the whole show. Out comes the old cornet for 16 bars, and bookending some over-the-top scatting within two reflective piano excerpts from Edward MacDowell's To a Wild Rose. Hoagy later adjudged his cornet effort not too bad unless you are a lover of good tone and the proper handling of the brass. That opens Shimmy Shall Wobble with a deftly turned blues before the band sets out the melody of the chorus. Hoagy's piano chorus is full of impressionistic conceits he could have lifted from one of Bix's late night musing. After some serviceable kidding, clarinet comes a surprise, a cornet chorus by Young Murray, punchy and rhythmically secure. Chance Goodwin, as he preferred to be called, takes over bright tone and fluent to carry things into a final upbeat ensemble. Fred was a good little cornet player, said Dent, but he played like I did, strictly mouthpiece pressure, couldn't play high notes. So here we have Carmichael's Collegians with two recordings from 1928, Walking the Dog and Shimmy Shall Wobble.
Thank you.
I hope you have enjoyed this program of recordings of Hoagy Carmichael in the 1920s. The timing of the program is quite appropriate because Hoagy celebrated his 114th birthday last week on November 22nd. Well, let's get back to Bix now. We have come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive. Yeah.